Well, as you might have guessed, I asked Brad to lead us in that song this morning because I thought it would sort of go hand in hand with what we want to talk about today. And I want to start this morning certainly by welcoming each one of you here. Glad that each one of you is here this morning. You heard the list of sick folks. So we like a lot being back to where we need to be on attendance. But it's been going around. I've had my share of it as well. Wasn't here last week, but we appreciate Jerry Stahl filling in for us. And I guess I'm always the eternal optimist. And I think if I get sick, that, well, I'll be all right by Sunday. It didn't work out that way. And I got sick one day last week, and I wasn't feeling very good at all. And so Beverly said, "Are you going to call Jerry?" I said, "Oh, no, I'll be all right by Sunday." So Sunday kept getting closer and closer to Sunday, and she said, "You're not any better. You better call Jerry." I said, "Well, I'll feel better in the morning. I'll be all right by tomorrow." So I never did call Jerry till right at the very last minute. And I heard plenty from my wife over that. She said, "That's some way to do somebody." I said, "You could have told him, and then if you wasn't going to do it, well, he could have been prepared." But so I did apologize to Jerry over that, and as soon as Beverly gets feeling better, I'm going to apologize to her too. She ain't ready for an apology yet, I don't think. We are happy to have everybody here this morning. And I say that this is my Father's world. A lot of people say that it's not. You know, a lot of people's belief about how the earth got here to start with, and we as Christians, we take God's word for it, that it happened just as the Bible says that it did. But I want to show you some of the things about it this morning of what happens when man tries to do God's job for him. And it never works out successfully when that happens. But we've got a lot of newer people in our audience, people that wasn't coming here several years ago when my father was coming to church here. But I'm going to ask anyway, and if you're under 16, 17 years old, you're not going to remember my dad. I know that. But how many of y'all did soon remember my dad? He looks like it's going to be about maybe a third. Well, if you knew my dad, now he was an elder here. And he preached for many, many years before he retired. And there's a lot of things that those of you that raised your hands would remember about him, but it might be one thing that you didn't know about him, and that is he could joke. He could joke. And I guess I got mine from him because I can too. And I can even do it because I can do it left-handed. Now, Daddy, he can take five at a time and just keep there. He can do oranges and he can do apples. He can do limes, lemons, grapefruits, anything like that. He always thought he could do eggs, but Mom wouldn't let him do that now. But he could joke. And I just marvel at it because I never had the knack. Some people just got coordination. They can just keep them going, just keep their word, and I can't do that. So one is about my limit. But if we think about today, we think about this great universe that this little earth lives in. And all that's going on around that, I'm going to just use the physical part of it for just a moment to say nothing of the spiritual part of it as well. But Earth is about, it's about 8,000 miles through the Earth from one side to the other. If you was a mole, could go all the way through it. Or 25,000 miles around. And it truly is our Father's world. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." It gives God the credit for having done that. In John chapter 1, in verse 10, the Bible says, that God made it. And then in Psalms 24, verse 1, the Bible says that he owns it. The earth is his and everything that's in it. And then in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, it says that he runs it. So this is my Father's world. God made it, God owns it, and God runs it. Man does not. We have a tendency today to think like people who have lived in times past believe that they could take God's world and they could run it better than God does. And you know, that's one of our fallacies as human beings today. Sometimes we think that we can do something a lot better than somebody else. How many of you have ever said within yourself something that's going on in Washington, and you say to yourself, maybe to husband, wife, or children, well, I could do better than they're doing. I've said it lately. And it from what I see, what they're doing in Washington, D.C., I don't think I'm that bad wrong on it. I believe some of the things that they're doing, I could outdo them on. I could at least do that good, but I think I could do better than them. It kind of reminds me a little bit about Absalom, who was David's son, and he wanted the throne of David, and it wasn't his place to take that. It wasn't anything been said about who was to be David's successor. And here's what the Bible says that Absalom did. The Bible says that Absalom would go to the gate of the city, and that's where the respected men congregated, the elders of the city. And Absalom was a politician out of this world. All those politicians in Washington today, they could learn something from that. And somebody would come up and Absalom would go put his arm around him, and of course David was not only the king, but he was the Supreme Court, if you will. He adjudicated all the cases that couldn't be handled in the lower courts. And of course, you know how it is. You go to court, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. That's just it. Not according to Absalom. Absalom needs saved. I guess you're here to take this case from my dad. And the man would say, yes. And Adam would put his arm around him and everything. He'd say, oh, that I were the king in Israel. Now, I'd see that you go away from your hat. But the other guy, the one that he had to swap with, he'd say the same thing to him. He'd win too. And it was really like Absalom saying, I could do a better job being king than my dad. Now David was greatly loved as a king. But it was almost as Absalom was saying, if I was in charge, if I was in charge of the universe or my father's world or this nation, what a great job that I could do. How many times have we seen that over and over? And we can't do that because we're not God. We don't have the talents and we don't have the passion that God has. Now, if you think for just a minute, and I've got this picture here up on the board, but I also want to do a little demonstration as well. Now, this is my Father's world. Now, and this earth that we're living on, this blue marble that we're living on, is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. Somebody says, well, how do you know that? Well, because if it's 24,000 some odd miles around it, that's the diameter of the earth, and it takes 24 hours to do that, that means that we're spinning it at a rate of 1,000 miles an hour. Well, we don't even feel it. All we felt a little of it this morning when we were standing outside there, but that was not really cause it was. It's turning at 1,000 miles an hour. Not only that, but it's circling the sun, if you can take the sun out here, and it's circling that sun once a year. It takes a whole year for it to get around. And that orbit is 595 million miles. Imagine that. That orbit that we're trying to take. And so I figured to relate on that, see how fast we had to go in order to make that trip once a year. And we have to be doing not only 1,000 miles an hour this way, but we're traveling 66,000 miles an hour going around the sun. Can you imagine that? And we don't feel air all day either. it may have been sick and run this. I remember those oranges being flipped in the air. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's what God's doing. God's juggling this whole universe, and it's a great mystery to me how God does it. Now, this is just that one little planet that we live on. Nobody else lives on these other planets. And yet, we're there all just in our solar system. We've got Mars and Jupiter and Neptune and Saturn and Mercury and all these others. And God's doing the same thing. So not only is our Earth going around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour, but we've got all these others and they're at wreck. And we got the nerve to say, let me handle this, God. I'll take care of that. You go sit down and rest, God, and I'll take care of all this universe. We know that's the most ridiculous thing that ever was, and yet man wants to run God's business. And man didn't care. We can't go to one arch to say no to anything else. And so I want to remind us that this is my Father's world. God made it. He owns it and He runs it, not us. And every time we try to run God's world forward, we get in big trouble. Not only do, we get ourselves in trouble, we get everybody else in trouble with us. And God has established rules and laws and regulations. And as long as we comply with those rules and laws and regulations that God set down for us, we get along just fine. We let God do His job, and then we do the job that God tells us to do, we're in good shape. But every time that we step up, we say, God, let me run it for a while. I believe I can do that. We drop the ball and we mess it up. But it seems to be man's tendency to want to do that. Let me tell you about a man named Nimrod. You can read about this in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis. And it was after the flood was over. And Nimrod got together with a whole bunch of other people at that time. They went down there on the plain in what's present day Iraq, and they said, we're going to build us a tower, build us a city, a tower that's going to reach all the way up to heaven. Boy, isn't that something? Now there's man. It's almost like man said, God, we're going to make a big improvement on what you've already made. And the Bible says that their attitude fits the attitude. Let us make a name for ourselves. It's God that deserves a name. It's God's world. He made it. He owns it. And He runs it. And when we get so big for our riches that we think that we can do justice to God's world, we out of it. We are so far wrong. When we get to the point we can say, let us make a name for ourselves. It's God that deserves a name, not us. I hope y'all will bear with me on this call. And God saw all this going on, and He noted the attitude of Nimrod and those others. And it's almost like God talking to Himself. He says, what do these people think they're doing? The idea that they think that they can build a tower all the way to heaven where He is. Well, folks, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it was called the Tower of Babel. You go over in that country, in that very same spot where they're trying to live today, and you can't find it. All the work that they put on building that city and that tower is gone. It's not there anymore. You can't find one brick that they ever laid. Not one thing that they ever did. It always reminds me when I see man trying to run God's world for him, make the rules, make the laws, redo what God has done. God will take care of this. We'll run the world. You don't need to be bothered with that. We'll do it every time man messes it up. Does it every time. Because man's not capable. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, he said, it's not in man to direct his own footsteps. Man, you are not capable of living and doing your own business. That's up to God to do that, because you can't do it yourself. Yet man over and over makes you can. I wonder how many of you that sometime during your life have ever walked up on the anthill and you're standing there. tanks, and there's little apes coming this way, and there's some going that way, and there's some coming, some going, some carrying stuff, some of them going down in the hole, and then some of them coming back out, and you just stand there watching. You're kind of fascinated with it. Imagine that being the Tower of Babel. And God's up here on high watching all this. Somebody's making mortar, somebody's making bricks, and somebody's carrying more beer, somebody's putting together, somebody's putting slime on, somebody's building a little, like a little hay deal. But I've done this, maybe you have too. You watch it for a little while, and then you get tired of it and you go. You've done that? And that's the end of the day. And that's what God did at the Tower of Babel. The Bible says that he confounded their language, the work quit. Somebody said, hand me a brick, doesn't say, what? And he said, hand me a brick. They didn't know what he's talking about. God confounded their languages. And the work quit right then, like they scattered throughout all earth and came different languages. See, that's what happens every time that man wants to run God's world. He's making a mess of it. And I think about some of the things that man tried to do.
I think about a man whose name was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, he was a whole lot like Nimrod. He's like some of these others. And that he said about himself, he said, look at this great empire that I have made and built for myself. Doesn't give God any credit at all. He said, I did this. Look how it runs. I made it, and I own it, and I run it. God despises that kind of an attitude. Just despises that kind of attitude. And no matter how great that Nebuchadnezzar thought he was, the next thing that we hear from Nebuchadnezzar is that he's down on his hands and knees crawling through the grass grazing with the cows. Lost his mind. And the Bible says that his fingernails grew out to where they looked like bird claws. And his hair grew out till it looked like feathers. And here he is out grazing with the cows. And here's a man that thinks he can run a universe for God. Somebody that great. How many times do we see it over and over? I want to tell you about a young boy. And he didn't need any help. He was a sharp young lad. He didn't need any help from his father. Evidently, it was not God, because in this case, it was. God was his father. And so he goes to his father, and the attitude is, I can run this better than you can. So he goes to his father, and he said, Father, give me that portion of food that falls to me. The Bible says that his father did that, he took the journey into a far country and ran away from himself to the right city. And when he had spent all, he said to himself, there are many servants in my father's house that have bread enough to despair, and I perish with hunger. Well, young man, how did you do? How did you do? Well, I thought I could run it, but my dad was doing a whole lot better job than I was. And so the conclusion that he came to was, he said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to run to be called thy son. It's your world, you made it, you own it, you run it, not me. And that ought to be the Christian character. It ought to be the Christian fan shout today. This world's God's. God made it. God owns it, and God runs it, and we cannot do it for him. And every time that we try to change the rules that have been long-standing that God put in, some of them at the very beginning of man's civilization, every time man tries to mess with it, he winds up being in a hog pen in a foreign country, just like this young man. Let me give you a few of them that we're living with today. When man tries to take care of God's world and run God's world for him, here's what happens. There's a rule that man makes today that says this. You know what abortion is? Abortion is a woman that has the right to do anything with her own body she wants to. That's what man says. This is man running it for God. That's not what God's rule was from the beginning. And it has never been that way, and it will never be that way. It's not what God's rule is. Here's what man says. What two consenting adults do behind closed doors is their own business. This is my father's world. I can run it for him. I've got a better rule. I've got a better way of doing it than God. We come up with military policies. Don't ask, don't tell. And we say that didn't work, so we repeal them and do something else, and it ain't working either. And it always surprises me how man changes the names of some of these things to make it more palatable. Still sin, but we make it sound better. Now, the people that live in that kind of sin today, they don't want to be called homosexuals or lesbians or anything. They prefer to be called gay. It's such a nicer word. Premarital sex, that's what we call it nowadays. The Bible's word for it is fornication. Extramarital sex, the Bible's word for it is adultery. So we call it something else so it don't sound so bad. I remember something that Jesus told the Pharisees one time. And boy, how true that it really is. Certainly would be if Jesus said it. But he told the Pharisees, he said, "You people," he said, "you remind me of a whited sepulcher." That wasn't anything more than a tomb. They dig a hole inside the hillside and make a grave in there. And he said, "You whiten it or whitewash it." He said, "From the outside it's really pretty." But he said, "Inside of it it's full of rottenness and corruption and dead men's bones." And that's what we do nowadays. If something is unpalatable on the outside, on the way that it's said, like adultery or homosexuality or fornication or something, let's just give it another name. And let it sound better. And that's what we do. So we set it to music, make it sound better. We pour perfume on it, make it smell better. We've got a remedy for anything that's unpleasing about it, and we're trying to run God's world for it by calling something else. Today, we're told that fornication is not really fornication. Stealing is not really. Cussing is not really cussing. It's just your interpretation of the way that we're running our society today. It's man trying to run God's world for him, and he can't do it. This is God's world. God made it. He owns it and he runs it. We've heard a lot of people say in the last couple of years that they got the answer. They know when the deadline is going to be. They know the very hour and minute when this world's going to be through. And sometimes it gets so serious that they draw a lot of followers. And people will fall for it. Now, but let me put your mind at ease according to what God teaches us in his Bible. The Bible says that no man knows when this is going to be over. Nobody knows it. Not even the angels in heaven know that. God has not revealed that to us. We know this, that God made it, and he owns it, and he runs it. He started it, and he'll be the one who stops it. Not man. Stealing may not really be stealing in the eyes of men. Drunkenness is not really drunkenness. Dope is not really dope. Gambling's not really gambling. We put a better face on it than that. Somebody's going to win. Might as well be you. So we can doctor it up any way that we want to, but we're still not in the position to run God's world for him. The best thing that we can do is do the part that God wants us to do and let God run his own world.
God made it, God owns it, and God runs it. That's not up to us. Question is, will you, as a part of God's creation, take the place that God wants you to have while we are here on this earth and be obedient to Him? We don't have a picture of heaven. If I'd had one, I would have had Ryan to put one up here this morning, but we don't have one. Not a picture like we're seeing right here. Don't know what it's going to be like. It's going to be prettier than this, and that's a right pretty picture. And everything's going to be the right way when we get to that point. The question is are we going to be there? Could be that there's somebody in the audience this morning who thinks that he's smarter than God is, that he can run it himself, that you can run your own life yourself. God said through Jeremiah the prophet, no, you can't. If you're trying to run your life right now, and you don't have God in it, I'll guarantee you making a mess. I don't even know who you are, but I can tell you this, you can't run it like God can run it for you. You cannot do it. Only God can run your life the way that He wants it to be run. Are you doing that this morning? Are you submitting your will to His will? Are you submitting yourself to God in His world? One that He made, the one that He owns, the one that He runs. And you are being a part of it. Are you here this morning? Will you comply with God's will? Brad, while we stand and while we sing.